Good morning. It's always such a joy to gather together and to remind ourselves again that we are family in Christ together. As Nana mentioned in her prayer, we are concluding our series on servanthood. 11 parts. Maybe some of you are saying, okay, enough already. I get it. Serve, and that's true. I hope that comes across quite strongly. Serve, and yet, you know, maybe there's parts of you that say, you know what, not everything in me wants to serve. Maybe I'm intimidated by service. But I want to talk about, yes, serve, but I want to get more at the heart of what it is to serve. And the heart of what it is to serve is to be like Christ, to make this. We are Christ-like in our leadership. We are Christ-like in our families, in our workplace, in our cities. We serve like Christ in the areas we find ourselves in. We serve Christ in our churches, in our communities, for the hurting. We started this series, when Pastor Dave first opened it up, with looking at Jesus and the washing of the feet. And I want to conclude it today with, this is all about Christ-likeness. And how do we get there? What does that look like? When we look at Mark 10, verse 45 in the New Testament, we read in Scripture, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." And so this serving thing is about giving our lives away somehow. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, he writes, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And so somehow this giving ourselves away is at the heart of this. A Christ-like heart. What does that look like? What does a servant heart actually look like? You know, we see people, we're going to church, we might tithe and give to good causes, we might help out, all good, but what's the heart behind it all? That's what I want to conclude with this morning. What's the heart behind it all? And I thought I'd use John 15 in the Gospel of John 15 as a good place where we look at that. And so let's read it together. John 15, 1 through 17, if you want to. If you have your Bible with you, you can open up to it or on your phone, or it'll be up here too. Let's read it together. "I am the true vine." This is Jesus talking. "My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Because remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." That I think is important, critically important. "It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Let's keep it straight. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." When I read the passage, I've read it many times, but every time I read it, I reflect deeper on it. But what struck me this time was I noted that God has tied his glory to our fruitfulness, right? We read that in verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. God ties his glory to our fruitfulness. And when I use the word fruitfulness here, I'm also including these acts of service that we've been talking about. Servanthood is about fruitfulness. And it's in this passage as well. Jesus tied our fruitfulness to his presence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Sometimes I think we just have to try harder. I'm not suggesting that you don't try hard, but that's not enough. You need to know that apart from Jesus, all your efforts aren't going to cut it. I think the world will see God clearer through our fruitfulness, through our acts of service. It's interesting, the Bible, when you looked at the idea of what it is to be fruitful, what does it mean? You know, it's become a kind of a churchy word in a way. I know Jesus didn't use it that way. But all through Scripture, way back even to Genesis, when we talk about fruitfulness, it means to reign or rule. To reign or rule. Look at Genesis 1:26, way back in the beginning here. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So, okay, we want to be Christ-like. So that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground, over all creation, in fact. We are to rule alongside God for the flourishing of creation. We are to expand Eden, the Garden of Eden, right, where it talks about Genesis, to take what God has given us, our time, our resources, our work, our talents, this whole planet, to take whatever it is and to use it to bring about flourishing because of our relationship to the Father in order to reflect his goodness and his grace. This is where the heart of service is. This is the heart of servanthood, to reign with the servant king alongside him. You are designed by God for this. In Scripture, we often refer to this as stewardship, right? And a steward is a servant. It's servanthood. Working with the reign of God. The kingdom of God. I know you remember the old song, Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody, right? And so this idea that I'm not going to be a servant isn't going to work. You're serving something. You're either going to serve the kingdom of God or you're going to serve the kingdom of the enemy. Those are the two options. Jesus says that in Matthew 6. Look at it with me. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, God and whatever you want to put in there. Your servanthood will show what kingdom you are advancing. And you will advance a kingdom. That's just how this is going to go. The fall happened, right? We read about that in Genesis 2. Another way was presented other than God. You get to be God. That's at least the attempt that the evil one had in Genesis. And God, through Scripture, then is saying, you know what? I'm going to restore the original intention I had, the right and good reign of God in this world. Next week, we start Advent. Can you believe that? We're already at Advent? I'm a little stunned by that. But anyway, but we talk about a light shining in the darkness. That's how John starts his gospel, right? This is the kingdom has come. In Jesus, the kingdom is restored, and it's an ongoing renewal of all things here. Jesus, when the very first scripture he reads in public is out of Isaiah. We read this in Luke 4:18. He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Servanthood. Servanthood is about bringing vision back. Servanthood is about freeing those in bondage, those oppressed. Servanthood is about bringing healing somehow. I think we have such a sometimes a small view of servanthood that, well, we're just going to do all kinds of good deeds. I think those good deeds reflect something much deeper. You know, when we invite people to serve the church, for example, by ushering and greeting at the door, you think, oh, what a small task. Well, but it's a profound task. It's a task that says to people as they come in, we are welcoming you into the body of Christ, a body that wants to make a difference in the world in the name of Christ. If you serve by making coffee, you say, oh, such a small task. We are saying hospitality matters. And when we get together over a cup of coffee, when we share life together, this is the point. It's what Jesus is saying in Isaiah. When you hang out with a friend and who's going through a rough time, you're bringing about some healing, maybe bits and pieces, but this is what we're called to do. This is servanthood. When you serve in your families and you serve in your marriages and you serve wherever you are, it is about bringing the kingdom a little further and the renewal of all things. You are involved in kingdom building in everything you do. Which kingdom sometime? Which kingdom? Jesus says in Matthew 28, which we call the Great Commission, which is our vision statement, really. And Jesus said to his disciples, then he says to us, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Ooh, you hear the statement of reign? All authority has been given to me. All authority. Not bits and pieces. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, and out of that reign, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you in all that to the end of the age. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. And as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends us to go and expand the kingdom, his kingdom. Servanthood isn't just about doing good deeds. It's about expanding the kingdom come and coming. It's about living out that mission. He came to serve, and so we are called to do the same. That's the mission strategy. He's the first disciple, and we follow him. Now, back to John 15. I'm going to reread the first two verses. Jesus says, I am the vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We are clear on that we're building the kingdom. We're clear on how Christ wants to build servant hearts like his, so we can do that work. Here's a big piece of the process. You want to develop a servant heart, a more Christ-like heart, and this verse says, you gotta get cut. You want to serve and bear fruit? You gotta get cut. Some things have to go. Some things have to die. When me? Yeah, and you. Some things have to die. I won't serve when I have two masters, at least not well. I won't serve others when I love myself or I protect myself more than anything else. I won't serve like Christ then. Philippians 2, Paul describes how Jesus served here. Rather, Jesus, he made himself what? What? Everything? Nothing. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him above the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. This becoming nothing leads to exaltation. Out of our obedience, out of our willingness to have things die in ourselves, comes exaltation because we reign with the King of Kings. That's what's going on here. This isn't about groveling. I think we have this weird idea of servanthood. Oh, I'm the servant. This isn't about that. Not at all. This is about the Father's glory in His kingdom. And we align ourselves to His will. And then ironically, we are exalted with Christ. But we have some cutting to experience. Things that work against the kingdom have to go. And this cutting and this pruning produces more fruit, which is then lived out in more acts of service to a world that God so loves. All growth requires ongoing pruning. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited you get to get pruned? Things get to go. You know what? If with grapes, think of grapes. If they're not pruned, you will not produce more grapes. They will use all their energy to extend themselves further, producing more branches, not more fruit. And it's the same with us. If we aren't pruned by the Father, we'll be busy expanding our pathetic little kingdoms and we'll fail to take part in the eternal kingdom of God and His good reign. And we will not grow. And therefore, we will not serve easily, if at all. As you grow, the heart of servanthood, as you grow, you develop a more Christ-like heart. And then when you will naturally serve out of that Christ-like love. And then serving won't just be an add-on. Serving will be a way you live. You won't even be thinking, I'm serving. You will just be loving like Christ loves. I recently heard a pastor say, you can only live where you die. You can only live where you die. And I think that's true. I realize there's a lot of places where I still need to die so I can live more like Christ and have His heart. So I can get out of the way and allow the gardener to prune me so I can be more fruitful, more servant-hearted. Let me ask you, any of you ever dishonest with yourself? Not just me, or maybe you do too. I'm guessing yes for everybody. When lies get exposed, and we all live with some lies, we grew up with them, we learned them, our culture teaches them to us. When these lies get exposed, there's the fear behind those lies. And you know, maybe I fear to serve others because I feel inadequate or unwilling. Or maybe I'm a lot more selfish than I thought I was. And there's areas where I don't trust God as much as I should. So I think I have to pull everything and carry everything because I trust me more than I trust God. And so I'm not going to surrender all that stuff because I don't trust God that much. And that keeps me from stepping out in obedience. And I need to start imagining, what might God do in me and in my life and through me if I could die here? If I could die in this area or this area? If that would be cut out, what might happen? What might God do? Because I can only live where I die to self-centeredness. And so God, I need you to cut here or to cut here. Or to cut here. I don't want that because I'm hanging on to that in some kind of false way, but I need you to cut that out of my life. So that I can participate in the flourishing of your kingdom come, so that I can be the blessing that you want me to be. And this is how God answers our prayers. Be careful what you pray. You know, when we read in John 15, in verse 7 and 8, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Right? Ask whatever you want. Maybe some of you are saying, really? Really ask whatever I want and I'm going to get it? and yet it says, His glory is tied to your fruitfulness, to your servanthood. We have this weird notion that if we look worse, somehow God looks better in some ways. Right? So servanthood is, you know, less of me, more of you. And that's true, but it's not less of me because I'm useless and God doesn't care about me very much. Less of me, more, you know. Not that at all. You know, I think I've said it before, right? Winston Churchill said, I may be a worm, but I'm a glowworm. You know, God is glorified, hear me well, God is glorified by you being amazing. God is glorified, honest, but God is glorified by you being amazing. By living out your giftedness, because you were gifted. Yeah, by being honest about the weaknesses where you need to be cut, but by living out your talents, by being just like his son, the servant king. It's God's desire that you are fruitful, that you are productive for his good kingdom. So yes, pray boldly. Pray in the context of the Father's glory. Now, some of you might be saying, and I've said it too, I prayed a lot of things and they didn't happen the way I prayed. You know, what's going on there? We started this passage, John starts this passage with, remain in me, in Jesus. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in his presence. Because we don't always. I know we're always in his presence, but we don't always live like we're in his presence. In fact, I think in many ways, sometimes we live like we're practical atheists. I remember when I was a middle school teacher and we were reading about God's presence in the Old Testament and how God showed up in a pillar of fire and, you know, or at Mount Sinai and the mountain rumbled and thunder and lightning. And you say, how many of you would, you know, tremble before God in that moment? Oh, yeah. And I was teaching a class and I said, okay, I had a phone call, so I had to step out. And we had just finished talking. Do you believe that God who came in the pillar of fire and shook Mount Sinai, do you believe he's here right now? And all the students, oh yeah. And I came back and it was pandemonium in the classroom. And we talked about, do we actually believe God is here? Because if God was actually here in a pillar of fire, would everybody have messed around in class? And I look at my own life. I live like God's not even in the room sometimes. Do you believe God is present? When you're acting like a jerk? Do you believe God is present? Every time you're looking at the computer screen? Do you believe God is present? When you're engaging somebody in not very healthy ways. You believe God is present with the way you spend your money. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in his presence. Practice his presence. You know, and when you do that, then you say, God, what's your will in this particular moment? Because Jesus just then said, let my words remain in you. Because his words bring life. In verse 3, you know, of John 15, let me read it to you again. He said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of what Christ has done and what Christ has said. His words have power. You know, you're clean, you're pruned because of his words. So submit to those words, and then you can bear fruit. And then out of that, you pray. You pray with an awareness of his presence. You pray living off his words. Then you get answers. Then those prayers come out of service. Then suddenly your prayers are not just your prayers. They're in the context of the kingdom coming. Prayers from our relationship with the Father. Not when you're out of relationship, then you better be praying, Lord, bring me back into relationship and prune some stuff that needs pruning. I pray this with the desire to above all remain in you, and I trust that you will bring fruit in my life. Servanthood is about submission, and we surrender our lives and we surrender our wills to a better will, his will. And then we trust that the pruning and the pain will lead to growth and to blessing. And then that pruning will expose the lies that keep us from serving and surrendering to the good will of the Father. Anything that makes you feel hopeless. Maybe you have some areas in your life sometimes you feel hopeless. Anything that makes you feel hopeless is built on a lie that needs to be exposed and replaced by the truth that the Father wants growth for that area so you can serve and bless those around you. What you dwell on and stew on and obsess about are areas that often haven't been surrendered to the Father. They are simply areas that begin and end with you. They are areas that need to be pruned, which can be a lot of hard work and a lot of constant surrender time and time again. Let me ask you this. What's the job of the branch? Because in this passage, it's what we are. You're a branch. I'm a branch. What's the job of the branch? Well, the branch has one job. Receive the nutrients that the roots pull up for them so they can bear fruit. That's the job of the branch. You know what you should do sometimes? You should do a word study about the number of times the word receive is found in the New Testament. Receive. I think many of us need to learn what it is to receive. The branch simply receives nutrients. We need to simply learn to receive. We're forever trying to muscle fruit out of our own strength. Not always the best fruit by any stretch of the imagination. His presence, his words, they are the nutrients. We receive the work of the gardener. We submit to his work, to his presence. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants to be fruitful more than we often want to be fruitful. It's to his glory that you bear much fruit. That's the process of developing fruitful lives and living out our call to serve as Christ serves. He has designed you to be fruitful, so that the world may clearly see who God is and that he is a loving God. Our job, keep dying to self, keep submitting to the Father, keep turning toward him in obedience, and then cooperate with his reign. It's God's job to prune and to grow you and to resurrect out of that which dies, to grow a Christ-like heart, a servant heart in you. And one more thing, and I'm going to end it with this. If we look at John 15, the verse 12 to the end, where we read, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You," Jesus says, "are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I have learned from the Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Serving is simply loving like Christ. And that love comes from Christ and from his Spirit. It's God's job to grow you. We are then servant friends of the servant king. May we live in his presence. May we live and know his words. May we surrender daily so we can serve like Jesus, in order that life may abound all around us, wherever we are, that life may abound because we are servants of the King of Kings. What an incredible adventure we are invited into. The adventure of lifelong servanthood. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we just want to thank you so much for inviting us to be participants and servants of your kingdom come and coming. Thank you so much, Lord, that we are invited to join you in the reign, in your good reign of all things. Lord, may we learn what it is to surrender. May we learn what it is to open ourselves up to you, the pruning that you want us to have so we can be more fruitful in our lives where you have put us. Lord, might we remind ourselves that you want us to be amazing. That's what you designed us for. Might we be amazing by learning to surrender and to be more and more like you. Lord, I pray you bless each person here with your Spirit and with a heart of surrender. and with a heart of service. In your name we pray. Amen.